Welcome to episode 923 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. In early chapters of the Acts of the Apostles, the narrative follows the transformative journey of Jesus' followers from grieving and uncertain disciples to a powerful, unified community. After witnessing Jesus' ascension, the disciples return to Jerusalem. They gather in an upper room until the dramatic arrival of the Holy Spirit, which empowers them to speak in various tongues and boldly proclaim the gospel. Peter stands out as a leader, delivering a stirring sermon that leads to the conversion and baptism of about 3,000 people. Soon thereafter, Peter and John heal a lame man at the temple gate called Beautiful, which provides an opportunity to preach about Jesus' power and resurrection. Their actions and teachings attract attention, leading to their arrest. Despite facing persecution, they remain resolute, asserting they cannot stop speaking about what they have seen and heard. When released, they return to their community, which responds with a prayer for boldness, further emphasizing reliance on God's support in the face of opposition. The communal life of the believers is characterized by remarkable unity and generosity, with members selling their possessions to support one another. However, Acts 5 introduces a sobering episode with Ananias and Sapphira, a couple who lie about proceeds from a sale of property and are struck dead as a result. This event instills awe and fear regarding the seriousness of their communal commitment and honesty. The chapter concludes with further growth of the church and additional persecutions, illustrating the complex dynamics of rapid expansion, internal challenges, and external pressures. Through it all, the apostles continue to heal and preach, undeterred by repeated imprisonments, rejoicing for being counted worthy to suffer disgrace for Jesus' name. The explosive growth of the church leads to logistical challenges, including distribution of food to widows. A dispute arises when Hellenistic Jews feel their widows are being neglected in the daily distribution compared to Hebraic Jews. In response, the apostles appoint 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom, to oversee this task. This allows the apostles to focus on prayer and ministry of the word. Chapter 6 highlights the selection of Stephen and others who take on these responsibilities, resulting in God's word spreading and the number of disciples growing. There is strength found in unity. The apostles address complaints not by dismissing them, but by creating a community-led solution. In our own spiritual communities and everyday lives, we should seek to acknowledge and address grievances, promoting unity through inclusive, practical solutions. The apostles' decision to delegate responsibilities underscores the importance of focusing on one's primary calling while empowering others to serve according to their gifts. As Christ followers, recognizing and nurturing the gifts of others not only strengthens our communal endeavors, but allows for a fuller expression of the gospel. The men chosen to serve are not selected based on only administrative skills, but are noted to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. This criteria reminds us that spiritual maturity and discernment are crucial for any role in the church, from the seemingly mundane to the overtly spiritual. In our service, whether in church or in our daily professions, let us seek to be filled with the Spirit, allowing our work to testify to our faith. The effective handling of the distribution issue leads to a positive outcome, increased spread of the gospel, and growth in the number of disciples. This illustrates how effectively managed practical matters can lead to spiritual growth and greater outreach. Let us remember that our diligence in everyday tasks can have an eternal impact. Despite the pressing issue of food distribution, the apostles maintain their priorities: prayer and ministry of the word. In our busy lives, while we serve and fulfill our earthly responsibilities, continuous engagement with God through prayer and scripture is essential for spiritual vitality. The most famous of the men assisting with the daily distribution is Stephen. He is often considered a Hellenistic Jew, which means he was likely a Jewish person who spoke Greek and was familiar with Greek culture. This background suggests he might have been from outside Judea, possibly from one of the diaspora communities in the Roman Empire spread across areas like Asia Minor, Egypt, or Syria. He is chosen as one of the first 7 deacons by the early Christian community in Jerusalem. His selection indicates he is held in high esteem for his faith and spiritual maturity. Although his primary responsibilities are to serve the needy, he still preaches and performs great wonders and signs among the people, showcasing God's power at work in him. His activities draw the attention of members of the Synagogue of the Freedmen, Jews from Cyrene, Alexandria, Cilicia, and Asia. They debate Stephen but find themselves unable to match his wisdom and the spirit by which he speaks. Frustrated by their inability to counter his arguments, they resort to underhanded tactics to silence him. They secretly persuade some men to claim that they heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. This accusation is serious, as blasphemy is considered a capital offense under Jewish law. As a result, Stephen is seized and brought before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council. False witnesses are presented who testify that Stephen has spoken against the holy temple and the law, claiming that Jesus of Nazareth would destroy the temple and change the customs Moses handed down to them. The high emotional and religious charge of these accusations makes Stephen's situation perilous. During the council session, all members fix their gaze on Stephen, and they see his face like the face of an angel, signaling his calm demeanor and divine favor even amidst false accusations and imminent danger. This serene countenance contrasts sharply with the hostility and agitation of his accusers, setting the stage for his subsequent speech and martyrdom. In Acts 7, Stephen delivers a powerful speech before the Sanhedrin, the same religious council that condemned Jesus. He begins by recounting the history of God's dealings with Israel, starting with Abraham's call and journey to the Promised Land. Stephen emphasizes how God repeatedly met and guided his people in various places, not confined to the temple. He then shifts focus to the Israelites' repeated disobedience and resistance to God's Spirit throughout their history, from the construction of the golden calf to the rejection of Moses. Stephen also points out that Joseph, who saved Israel from famine, was initially rejected by his brothers, foreshadowing Jesus' rejection by his own people. Stephen's narrative culminates with the building of the temple, arguing that God's presence isn't confined to physical structures. He accuses the Sanhedrin of resisting the Holy Spirit, just as their ancestors had resisted God's prophets throughout history. This bold declaration enrages the council, leading to Stephen's martyrdom. In essence, Stephen's speech serves as both a historical recounting and a stinging rebuke. He reminds the Sanhedrin of God's faithfulness, despite Israel's repeated unfaithfulness, challenging their narrow understanding of God's dwelling place and their rejection of Jesus as the Messiah. It's a call to repentance and a reminder that God's plan of salvation extends beyond the confines of traditional religious institutions. Stephen's story, although culminating in martyrdom, begins with simple service, teaching us that extraordinary spiritual lives can grow from faithful service in seemingly mundane tasks. Faced with false accusations and standing before the highest religious authority, Stephen remains undaunted. His speech before the Sanhedrin is not just a defense of his actions, but a prophetic proclamation. Like the prophetic voices of old, he speaks truth to power at great personal cost. His vision of Jesus standing at the right hand of God, as he shares it with his accusers, marks a pinnacle of divine revelation, affirming his message and his mission. From Stephen's life, we learn that our service to God can take many forms, and our witness can lead us into paths we never anticipated. His story encourages us to be faithful in our given tasks, bold in our proclamation of the gospel, and steadfast in the face of opposition. As we reflect on Stephen's life and death, let us consider how we too can embody such faithfulness, courage, and compassion in our lives, knowing that our ultimate call is to faithfully represent Christ, whatever the cost may be. Father, as we ponder the faith and courage of the early disciples, we are inspired by their unity, their bold proclamation of your truth, and their profound reliance on your Spirit. Teach us, Lord, to embody the same dedication and to trust in your guidance. May we, like them, be unified in purpose, steadfast in adversity, and generous in spirit. Help us to engage with your word and each other in ways that build up and do not tear down, so that your love may be evident in all our actions. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest, today.